Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. I'm sure you've seen the headlines about the ever-expanding story of the New York Police Department spying on Muslim students and many other followers of Islam throughout the state and beyond. Religion Dispatch's associate editor, Harun Mogul, has done a great job of following this complicated story. Harun, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Harun, would you start with just a quick summary of what has happened and where we are?
For a number of years, the NYPD has been engaged in wholesale spying on Muslim communities and institutions, not just in New York City, but across the Northeast, including a number of universities, so University of Pennsylvania, Rutgers, Yale University, and actually going so far as to send undercover agents on college students' field trips for Muslim student organizations all the way out to Buffalo, New York.
What has been the explanation from the New York City Mayor's Office and Police Department?
Well, there's been a lot of explanations, and what really links these explanations is that they tend to be contradictory, they tend to be evasive, and they tend to be unclear. Mayor Bloomberg has insisted that what the NYPD has done is totally legal, it's necessary to keep New York safe, it's within the bounds of the law, so on and so forth. What that doesn't explain is the fact that in all the documents, this basically records racial and religious profiling. So the NYPD is basically going after institutions, mosques, universities, university websites, emails, things like that, and just going after them because they're Muslim, right? There's no evidence of any wrongdoing. Most of these reports, which are stamped top secret and make it look like they contain all sorts of crazy and important revelations, have really nothing in them beyond the fact that Muslims go and eat in certain restaurants or go to certain mosques or send emails to each other.
That kind of reaction, doesn't it tell you something about the internal culture of the NYPD?
It's certainly a problem. I mean, one of the most infamous instances that has come out recently has been around a film called Obsession, which is related to another documentary called The Third Jihad. Now, Obsession was sent out during the 2008 election to millions of Americans to try to sway the vote by creating the insinuation that Barack Obama was a secret Muslim. The Third Jihad was kind of like a follow-up documentary. It's a very hateful and bigoted film. And it turns out that Ray Kelly was featured. Ray Kelly is the commissioner of the NYPD. He was featured in the documentary. And initially, when he was asked about this, he said that the footage was taken from somewhere else. He had nothing to do with it. NYPD had nothing to do with it. Turns out, thanks to the Brennan Center and some other investigations, that Ray Kelly actually sat for 90 minutes for an interview with the producers of the documentary. So he sat for an interview that's basically as long as the documentary. And the documentary was actually played continuously for up to about 1,500 NYPD officers. So the question then becomes, why is the NYPD engaging in supporting and affiliating with these kinds of media and documentaries which are so hateful? And what does that say for the NYPD's interest in relationship to New York's Muslim communities?
Mm-hmm. Harun, what's the impact on the subjects of this kind of surveillance, as well as on people who obviously really had no way of knowing if they were being spied on and still don't know whether they were spied on or not? And even broader, what does that do to society at large?
Well, that's a very good question, and I think there's a lot of ways to answer that. I think the first and most interesting thing is how many different political figures and institutions have come out against the NYPD. So the mayors of Chicago and Los Angeles, which, by the way, have not had any terrorist attacks, have explicitly said that they don't do this kind of spying on Muslims, and they can do good police work without breaking down the kind of trust that is needed to sustain long-term security, both in the city and nationally. A lot of political figures, I mean, Chris Christie, for example, is governor of New Jersey, is a right-wing figure. He's not your sort of typical liberal. You know, he, too, has come out against the NYPD. The mayor of Newark, U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, also from New Jersey, and a lot of universities, actually the presidents of NYU, Columbia, and Yale, which are some major institutions, have come out very harshly against the NYPD for violating the academic environment. And I think that's really where this hits home. So you can imagine that if you're a parent and you're sending your student to school and you find out these students are being spied on, that's got to be a little bit unsettling. And then when you find out that the only reason they're being spied on is because of their religion or their ethnic origin, that's going to be a very unsettling proposition. And I think just as a very simple anecdote to talk about how it affects people, one of the people who it's been revealed was being spied on actually was someone who was invited to some of Mayor Bloomberg's private functions. So here's an individual, a Muslim New Yorker, who's going out of his way to be politically and civically engaged, and who thinks that, you know, he's contributing in a positive way and being recognized for that contribution by the city's government. And then it turns out that he's being spied on. And what it does, exactly to your point, is it undermines social trust. And that's the kind of trust you need between law enforcement and communities. New York has a huge Muslim population. About 1 in 10 New Yorkers is Muslim. About 12% of the public schools are Muslim. So here's a city where Muslims can be a major part of law enforcement, because we often have insights into communities, institutions, language, rhetoric, even individuals that the police may not have. But when you spy on everyone, what you do is you break down the trust that's necessary. And just a very easy example of that is the Times Square bomber, right? Faisal Shahzad, who tried to set off a car bomb in Times Square a few years back, actually 2 years ago in May, you know, no law enforcement agency in the country, including the NYPD, caught him. I mean, he had built a car bomb and parked it in Times Square and tried to set it off. It was actually an African Muslim whose English was very poor, who spotted it, told one of his friends whose English was better, who then called the police. So it's things like that which are really part of a broader effort to keep people safe. And if Muslim New Yorkers or Muslims in general in the United States feel like they themselves are targets of suspicion, my fear is that Muslims might be more hesitant in going to law enforcement, because they might think that in me going to someone and telling them something I've heard or seen that might be a problem, exactly as the NYPD tells us to do, if you see something, say something, maybe I'll be the object of suspicion. In fact, I know in the back of my mind I probably already am an object of suspicion. Mm-hmm. And it's that hesitation that can be dangerous from a national security perspective, too.
What would be your recommendations for a more reasonable approach to effective policing?
I think there's a few things the NYPD needs to do right now, and one is to issue an apology. Two is to launch an internal investigation and to make the results of that investigation open and available to the public. And the third is to do something to rebuild trust, and that involves some kind of oversight mechanism, some kind of civilian authority that keeps tabs on the NYPD. Those are major things that absolutely need to be done, need to be put in place. I mean, the FBI, the CIA, they all have these kinds of checks in different forms, ways in which their very important security activities can be balanced by the kind of civilian oversight that's necessary in a democracy. Now, that's not always perfect, but it's better than nothing. And right now with the NYPD, we have nothing, which is especially worrying considering the NYPD is now going into other states and other parts of the country to pursue its mission. Mm-hmm. In terms of what we need from the Muslim community, I think, is for American Muslims and Muslim New Yorkers to be more visible in their faith and to refuse to apologize for that. I think one of the impulses is to kind of hunker down and to try to really react in a way that confirms the suspicion in the first place. Well, if people are spying on me, then I'm going to keep my head down. And I think what we need to do instead is to say, no, you know what, I have enough faith in my country and enough faith in my religion that I can do both and I can serve both. Mm-hmm. And I do think that the overwhelming majority of American Muslims are going to continue trying to work with law enforcement and help law enforcement because it's too important not to. But at the same time, I hope that contribution is being recognized, that it's not just a case of American Muslims being seen as an alien population, but American Muslims being seen as Americans. And when any subset of Americans is being spied on for no reason other than their race or their religion or some characteristic that is irrelevant to national security or to the city's security, then that's something that gets everyone upset and annoyed. And so far, what I've seen in terms of the reactions from major universities and political figures, at least political figures outside of New York City, it seems like that's how people are reacting and responding, and that's mm-hmm. what they're upholding. The concern is why Mayor Bloomberg isn't saying anything and why Commissioner Kelly isn't saying anything.
Mm. Harun Mogul is an associate editor at Religion Dispatches. He's also a fellow at the Center on National Security at Fordham Law, and he's the author of the book, The Order of Light. I want to make sure to let you know that on March 5th, Harun is taking part in a program at Fordham University in New York City titled America Meet the Muslims. We've been here for a while. How can people get more information on this event and other public events that you're involved in?
Sure. I have a Twitter feed, HS Mogul. So it's HSMOGHUL. I also have a blog. It's called Avari. So it's avari.typepad.com. I keep the notices there. For the Fordham event, it's from 6 to 8 p.m. At Fordham's Manhattan campus. It'll be a cool event where I'm going to be talking about the very long history of Islam in the United States, which actually goes back to the founding of New Netherlands colony and New Amsterdam. And the fact that that's not known is an unfortunate reason why I think we have a lot of misunderstandings about the place of Islam in America.
We appreciate you taking time to work us into your schedule. We'll look forward to talking with you again soon on State of Belief Radio.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Before we go, last week on this show, I spoke to the Reverend Dr. Amos Brown, a civil rights pioneer and president of the San Francisco NAACP. He talked about the Enough is Enough initiative that he and other faith and community leaders were spearheading to push back against the divisive and destructive comments from Reverend Franklin Graham, questioning Barack Obama's faith. Although some say he hasn't gone far enough, Reverend Graham has issued an apology. The White House responded by saying the president didn't need an apology, but that it was appreciated. And one more thing. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to the listeners of WVKO in Columbus, Ohio, Ohio's Progressive Talk. It's great to be on the radio in one more important city just in time for Super Tuesday. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Please visit us online at stateofbelief.com to find out more about the show. Hear extended interviews, read transcripts, sign up for our podcasts. You can learn about the new State of Belief app for iPhone and Android devices. Share your thoughts on what you've heard on Facebook and Twitter. Contact information is available at stateofbelief.com, including the toll-free listener line 800-856-0277. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. You can become a member today of the Interfaith Alliance. Go to interfaithalliance.org. And for goodness sakes, join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only